The words of God given to us today is Acts chapter 17, verses 26 to 29. Allow me to read. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined this time set for them, and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that man would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. Amen. In the meeting of Areopagus, Paul, looking Parthenon and temples of Acropolis ahead and temples around Agora underneath, started his preaching for philosophers of Athens who brought him there by mentioning an altar for an unknown god. This meant that Paul will explain to them the unknown god that citizens of Athens worshipped. Paul proclaimed that God does not live in temples built by hands of men, because he who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. Also, Paul preached that unlike idols which are created and served by men, God with self-sufficiency is not served by hands of men as if he needed anything, because he himself gave all men life, breath, and everything else. It is because God is El Shaddai, the Almighty and self-sufficient being. Paul then continued his sermon as follows. First part of verse 26. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. During that time, people thought that every nation of men had their own origins. Citizens of Athens thought the same way. They believed that they were superior to other people or tribes because they came from the earth of Attica, where Athens was built upon. However, by proclaiming that God made every nation of men from one man, that they should inhabit the whole earth, Paul rebuked their ideas. The statement that from one man God made every nation of men inhabiting the whole earth was not to emphasize that all men are blood related. Original Greek words of from one man are ex henos, meaning from a single man. The one man that Paul referred to was, of course, the first man, Adam, created by God. The statement of Paul that God created every nation of men from one man is important in three aspects. First, because all men are descendants of a single man, Adam, without an exception, every man and every tribe are creatures of God who created Adam. Therefore, no man was in a position to create God. Second, because all men are descendants of Adam, all men and all nations, without an exception, are sinners, even if they did not commit any murder, robbery, or other sins, because all men came from Adam, the origin of sin, who had been driven out from the Garden of Eden for his sins. Citizens of Athens, therefore, could not be an exception that they too are men destined to die from sin before the Holy God. Third, he suggested that because all men became sinners destined to die by one man, Adam, all nation of men can obtain a new life and earn an eternal salvation through the blood of another man, Jesus, the new Adam. As we will examine next week, for this reason, the sermon of Paul in Areopagus ended with the testimony of Jesus, who died on the cross to pay the sin debts of men and was resurrected by breaking the death. And Paul continued his sermon as follows in verse 26, the latter part. And he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. The original Greek word of the time is kairos, which means definitive time, distinct from chronos, meaning chronological time. Therefore, the words, he determined the time set for them, along with the statement that God determined the exact places where they should live, means that the rise and fall of every nation of men occurs within the providence and will of God. As explained to you 4 weeks ago, philosophers of Athens 2,000 years ago were divided into Epicureanism and Stoicism. Epicureans did not deny the existence of God, but believed that God does not intervene with individual lives of men. According to Epicureans, the order of the universe or the history of men were only results of coincidence. On the other hand, philosophers of Stoicism denied the Lord as the creator for worship because they believe that the universe itself is God and God is the universe. So, both philosophers of Stoicism and Epicureanism were same in denying the existence of God governing the entire universe. Paul pointed out such earnest belief to the philosophers of Athens who took him to Areopagus, while proclaiming that God who created man and universe governs the entire universe and human history. Paul's sermon continues as follows in the first part of verse 27. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. The original Greek verb of the word seek is psilapao, which also has the meaning of to examine, identify, and feel. Because God governs the universe and history of every nation of men and tribes, anyone trying to feel and seek God can find Him everywhere. Think about the change of seasons. Summer comes after spring, and winter always comes after fall. Sun and moon, making day and night, countless stars in the night sky, an infinite universe. Aren't they all moving in accordance with a single order? 2,000 years ago in Athens, there were about 30,000 gods and altars created by men. If every creature in the universe is governed by 30,000 gods, the universe would have been destroyed by disorder and chaos from wars between gods. Also, in the history of any nation or people, was there any record that injustice defeated justice for good? There was no such incident in human history. Even if injustice prevailed justice for a certain period of time, in the end, justice always won. Every time and every place, it appears that good people are always despised and disadvantaged. However, if we look back, those who earn respect are always good people. We do not remember rich or powerful people in Africa or India. But we do not forget the name of Schweitzer, father of Africans, and Mother Teresa, mother of peasants of India. It is because they were good people, showing love of God through their lives. If this world is divided and governed by thousands of gods and not governed by the holy God, justice would be defeated by injustice, and there will be no place for good people because of wars between many different gods trying to expand their territories by any means. However, because God, who created universe and men, is the only Lord of the entire universe in human history, the nature moves exactly in accordance with the order of God from the beginning. Justice wins injustice no matter how widespread injustice may appear. And good people who appear to be unfairly treated in the end are in respect of people. Like this, if you want to feel and find God, we can confirm the presence of God everywhere. The letter part of verse 27, though He is not far from each one of us. The reason we can feel and find God by looking at universe moving orderly in change of weather and human history where good and justice always wins is not because they are signs of God who stays in a faraway places over mountains and oceans or high above skies.
하나님의 과거의 흔적들이기 때문이 결코 아닙니다. 하나님께서는 절대로
God does not stay in a faraway places or a different world that we can never reach.
계시는 분이 아니십니다. 하나님께서는 인간의 역사 속으로 침투해 들어오셔서
God is always with us in the middle of our lives and next to us.
우리 곁에서 우리와 함께 하고 계십니다.
For this reason, we can always feel, breathe with, and witness God anywhere and anytime.
도처에서 하나님을 뵐 수 있습니다. 이 세상 모든 종교는 인간이 신을
In all other religions, it is men who have to seek for God in order to win the heart of God who may not be willing to meet men. Men's efforts should be put forth before meeting God. However, God who created universe and man is a God who first came to men. God did not abandon Adam and Eve who hid among trees of Garden of Eden in fear after being deceived by Satan and taking the forbidden fruits that God forbid them to eat. Rather, God called out the name of Adam and looked for him first. Adam, where are you? Then, God gave them long-lasting leather clothing from the skin of an animal also created by God, instead of soon-to-wither fig leaf skirts that they themselves have made. God also provided them to live outside of the Garden of Eden. God did not eternally turn away from Cain, who killed his innocent brother. God approached the murderer Cain first and put a mark on Cain to save him. Noah, who made an ark while the rest of the world was enjoying and drinking, was able to be the second ancestor of mankind because God came to him first. Last Wednesday, we studied Abraham. The reason that Abraham, who lived in Haran, a city of idolatry, and ignorant of God, moved to a promised land of Canaan and could be the father of faith after knowing El Shaddai, the Almighty and self-sufficient God, was because God came to Abraham first and was always with him.
하나님께서 먼저 매번 아브라함을 찾아가 주시고 그와 함께 해 주신 덕분이었습니다.
Also,
또 하나님께서는
God gave us His words, His commands to us.
당신의 말씀을 주셨습니다. 이유는 당신의 말씀을 통해 인간들과
This was to try to communicate with people.
자기하고 수준이 맞지 않는 사람과 말을 하지 않으려
People don't like to speak with other people who are not even with them because it is hard to communicate with. Are we even with God? No, but God gave us His words. For this reason, not only we can confirm the presence of God through indirect signs of nature, that is, signs from natural phenomena and history of men, we can also understand the meaning, nature, an intent of God by reading the Bible, the command of God. Not only that, God showed us His love and grace by coming to this earth in human flesh. Moreover, Holy God Jesus provided us with the eternal way to life and salvation by dying on the cross to pay the sins of men and resurrecting on the third day after breaking the death. Last words of Jesus that He gave to us before ascending into heaven after completing the works of salvation to the earth is written as follows in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. It means that although resurrected Jesus, the flesh of Holy God ascended, He will always be with us in spirit until the day He returns. Like this, God in Trinity, who created man, always came to man first and was with man in words and in spirit. Therefore, the fact that Paul went to Athens in Aegean land and he didn't plan for and delivered the gospel to citizens of Athens through the marvelous providence of God means that through Paul, God first came to citizens of Athens and was with them in words and in spirit. And Paul continues his sermon as follows in verse 28. For in Him we live and move and have our being. In this verse, Paul cited four verse poem of Kritika written by poet Epimenides in Creta in the 6th century before Christ. In that poem, the poet pays respect to Zeus through the mouth of Zeus' son Minos as follows, For in you we live and move and have our beings. It means because of Zeus, people can live, move, and have their being. Knowing that the story of Zeus is a fictional story made by men, Paul tried to explain God to citizens of Athens by using a phrase familiar to them. God who created men always came to men first and was with men all the time. And whether people are aware of it or not, men are beings living by the grace of God. Verse 28 to verse 29. As some of your own poets have said, we are His offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, the phrase that Paul cited here, we are His offspring, was a phrase more widely known to citizens of Athens than the verse in previous poem.
Saramdereke do jal alyojin sijjeok pyeonyeosseumnida.
This phrase appears in the poem Phenomena by poet Aratus from Cilicia in the 3rd century before Christ. The same phrase also appears in the hymn to Zeus written by poet Cleanthes in the 3rd century BC. Although Zeus is a fictional being created by men, Paul proclaimed that we are all offspring of God, children of God, by using a well-known poetic expression loved by citizens of Athens. Paul was not a narrow-minded Jewish person confined in a view of Jewish history and culture, but a cosmopolitan well-versed in Greek history and culture. Let us look at verse 29 again. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. Here, Paul proclaimed that we may not think God like idols in gold or silver or stone with an image made by man's design and skill, because we all became offspring of God who came to man first and is always with men. This is not a simple reiteration of verse 24, that God who made the world and everything in therein, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by men. This verse is a proclamation of Paul regarding the way of life of offsprings of God, for they became offspring of God. Citizens of Athens believed that God that they believe will have divine values only if they decorate statues of idols beautifully and put all kinds of offerings before idols made by men's design and skills. Further, they believe that their lives too will gain meaning through such rituals. To them, the meaning of life did not come from God, but from themselves. However, such meanings cannot have true meanings. But God who created man was God even before he created us. Divinity of God does not improve, or men's lives gain more meaning just because men decorate God and make precious offerings to God. We are only wretched sinners, destined to die. But because God came to man first and was with us, worthless men became honorable offspring of God. Because the meanings of life do not come from men as believed by citizens of Athens, but from God, lives of men can have eternal, absolute meanings. Then, what does it mean for men to gain, who gained new meanings in their lives, to live as true offspring of God. Certainly, it is not to decorate and fill God with what they have, like citizens of Athens. To the contrary, it is to fill themselves with those from God. In other words, to fill ourselves with love and life of God and absolutely follow the words of God in our daily lives. There is no other way to live as offspring of God. Two years ago, I stayed at Okinawa, Japan, for 3 months during my sabbatical month. Okinawa is the name of a small island, 106 kilometers in length and 31 kilometers in width, size of 1,280 square meter, located 685 kilometers south of Kyushu of Japan. In the southern end of that island, there is a place called Hedo Misaki. Hedo is the name of the place, and Misaki means cape, a narrow end of land stretched out towards the sea. If you stand at the cliff of Hedo Misaki, on the right side, you can see East China Sea reaching to Philippines, and on the left side, you can see the Pacific Ocean towards the main island of Japan. When I visited Hedo Misaki on April 1st, 2011, there was nobody in the cliff, perhaps because it was very windy. As I was looking over the East China Sea and Pacific Ocean, a question came to my mind. It was a question that whether my life would still have meanings. If I was born and I have lived in this remote Hedo Misaki, the answer was, still, my life would have had absolute meanings. It is because the absolute meanings of life, my life, do not come from myself, but from God who created me and is always with me. So whether I live in Hedo Misaki or any other places, even if I stay underground, my life will still have an absolute meaning because God is with me. For this reason, we have to fill our spirits with love and life of God and follow the words of God as offspring of God wherever and whenever we are. Today is the fifth Sunday of Lent, commemorating the Passion of Jesus, who came to us first and died on the cross to have us as offspring of God and wait for his resurrection. Although we may be worthless beings with little possession and nothing to be proud of, let us not forget that we became honorable offspring of God eternally in Jesus, who saved us with his blood on the cross and is with us. Let us never forget that our lives gained eternal and absolute meanings by God in Trinity, who came to us first. From now on, let us fill our spirit with love and life of God, just like offspring of God, and follow the words of God, even if we have to overcome great mountain or go through deepest valleys. Because the words of God is God himself, El Shaddai, he will absolutely take responsibility of our lives. Paul, who learned such fact, confessed as follows in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, like this: He who did not spare his son, his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Let us pray. I was sinner Adam, who disobeyed God's commands countless times. I was murderer Cain, who killed numerous brothers and sisters by my thoughts and words. I was idol worshipper Abraham, who worshipped things of the world in Haran, city of idolatry. I was rebellious Paul, who denied Jesus Christ and suppressed the truth. Harder, I think, I was a head of sinners who cannot come close to God. However, God came to me, the sinner Adam, first by calling my name, Adam, where are you? God gave the mark of life to me, the murderer Cain. God first gave promise of God to me, the idol worshipper Abraham. God removed scales from my eyes, who were rebel Paul, and used me as his instrument. Most importantly, Jesus, who is holy God, paid my sin debts and made me honorable offspring of God. Moreover, God is always with me in the center of my life. For this, my life, destined to die, gained an absolute meaning. In this fifth Sunday of Lent, commemorating sufferings of Jesus who enabled all of this, we determine to live as offspring of God from now on. Please fill our spirit with love and life of God. Even if we have to climb a great mountain and cross deep valleys of our lives, help us proceed by following the words of God. Therefore, help all of us become the father of faith, Abraham and Paul, who testified to this world. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.